You're listening to the best possible taste on West Limerick 102 FM. But before that, over the past couple of weeks, I have been talking to finalists in this year's National Small Business Awards that are hosted by the Small Firms Association. Well, my next guest is a director of the SFA and has details about the organisation and the supports that it gives to its members, including food and drink businesses. Let's find out more from David Broderick.
Bon appetit.
Yummy.
Grubs up.
Delicious. Mmm.
David, you're very welcome to The Best Possible Taste, and we're going to talk about the SFA National Small Business Awards 2024. But before we get into that and talk a bit about some of the food and drink finalists, you yourself come from a very strong food background.
I do indeed, and thanks very much for having me on, Sharon. I do indeed. My mother started a business in the basement of her house in 1983 because she didn't want to put us in a creche. And she grew that business to what is now an international food brand and is over in over 30 countries around the world, as far as I'm aware. My two brothers run that now. And my mother can be found every Friday, even now at this stage of her career, in Dublin Airport, on the stand doing samples and driving sales. So she's still involved in the business, and obviously that's where the passion comes from for the Small Firms Association. I've been in the role about a year now, but I've always been passionate about small businesses and the need to help small businesses in whatever way we can do, and no better way to do it, I suppose, than being director of the Small Firms Association, which is the voice of small business and all that comes with that.
And I was up at the event that you had a few weeks ago in Nice, the Business Connect event, where it was kind of a combination of guest speakers, networking, and then a showcase of all the finalists that have been shortlisted for the awards. And what struck me was a lot of these businesses are family-run businesses.
Yeah, look, it's naturally where it comes from. Yeah, that particular event was fantastic. It's one of the first times we've had it outside of Dublin in a long time, and we'd over 470 companies engaged. Obviously, a small matter of a storm warning the day before couldn't even put off the resilient small business community from showing up. Yeah, I think naturally it's funny. I was in with we're in the middle of our lobbying campaign at the moment with politicians, and I was struck by one of the politicians. He said, "I know nothing different than politics." He comes from a long heritage of politicians. It's the same with family businesses. You grow up, that's all you know, that's all you see, and you either see and you either have that passion and drive, because unfortunately in the environment at the moment, you would need to have a passion for business to get involved in it. I wouldn't say the environment that's out there at the moment is conducive, but you need to have that passion. You need to be able to get out of bed every morning and drive those things. And that comes from when you see it in a family, and you either want to get involved in it or you don't. So that's where I think a lot of the family business comes from. And it's that entrepreneurial spirit as well. And it's something that, you know, it's either in you or it's not. I think you can teach elements of it to become good at it. But, you know, that fundamental drive and spark and fire in the belly as such, that's where it comes from. So you would see the family generations and grow, which come from family business brings us challenges too. I don't mind telling you, Sharon.
Absolutely. And I think even if you don't go into the family business, you take that work ethic with you that you see with parents maybe working like every day of the week, even if a business isn't open on a certain day, they're still working on the business in terms of maybe finance and marketing and the other, you know, things that are maybe not customer facing.
Yeah, it never stops. And it's because of your own skin in the game and your own drive to want to do well. And more so now, the way a lot of companies have bootstrapped their business, you know, and getting access to finance, it's been personal loans. It's been loans from sisters, brothers, aunties, uncles who have a bit of extra cash around. So, you know, on top of the normal stresses of business, you know that every penny that goes into that business and has to come out of that business, you know, it's all staying within the family. So, I think that's where a lot of the drive comes. And you saw that. I mean, I don't know the figures in front of me of how many of our Small Business Awards finalists are are from family heritage, but I'd say it's well 60-70% of them have come from that area, either carrying on businesses or mothers or fathers or brothers or sisters are all in that space.
And you mentioned there about lobbying government, like that's one of the roles of the SFA, but what are the other supports that you offer to small businesses?
Sure. Well, fundamentally, there's probably three things. The first thing, the main thing that people come for is our HR support, advice and guidance. When you're a small business owner, as you're well aware, you're not only the CEO or the MD, you're also the head of sales, the head of marketing and the head of HR. So our HR service is probably one of our fundamental services. So you can get access to phone support, online support, or all sorts of communications, and we're proactive and reactive there. So that's the kind of first area. The second then, I suppose, would be the inside track on government policy. And that's where the lobbying comes around. So, you know, I'm in with government every day. I'm meeting government minister today. And tomorrow I'm sitting around on a round table for the SME Entrepreneurship Task Force. So we get to hear, it's a two-way process, I have to say. You know, we impart the challenges that I hear every day from small business owners, and we're able to sit in front of ministers and tell them what's going on. So that's a fundamental in terms of our policy shaping. And the third thing is networking and events. So like you said, we had the Business Connect, which is obviously one of our flagship events. We have our annual lunch, but we also would do things around when I hear of specific challenges that are going on. So for example, recently we had the a lot of companies with debt warehousing, and they kind of wanted to know a lot more about that. So we would partner with Revenue, and Revenue came in and we had an online webinar, you know, well over 250, maybe 270 people on it, providing that safe space for them to ask the question from a practical practical, tangible supports of what's there, what do I need to know. So they're kind of the three areas. I suppose the networking piece is something I'm very strong on. And the networking landscape has changed over the last few years since COVID. So everything we try and do in the SFA, I mean, I always say that small business owners, it's their time and their cash flow. They're two things that they're very poor on usually. So we in the SFA would definitely like to think that everything we put on for our members and non-members sometimes as well will be of benefit to that. So if you give us your time, you will get something back. Whether that benefits, you know, something where you don't have to go looking for information and spend a day and a half Googling or making phone calls, right down to we do some tangible things with partners in, you know, how to increase your margins, how to increase your productivity. So, I mean, that's a core part of what we do. And the other part is that beautiful nugget that you would have seen in Business Connect last week. It's the talking to each other. I mean, the answer is in the room. And I'll always say that business leadership is a lonely place. But when you're able to stand and talk to other companies and, you know, and just say, God, I'm going through that too. And who did you talk about that? Or watch out for this. Or, you know, no matter what stage, because you saw those companies, we have everything from people who are just in business to people who are, you know, a long time in business. And I suppose being in business is problem solving every day. So if you can talk to somebody who has been through that problem, and they can be that ear and be there for you, and you see the connections that they make. And that's why our gala dinner now, which is where the finalists will be announced, the MC of that, usually, who this year will be Sonia Lennon, actually, they have a very difficult job keeping that room quiet, which I think it's a great thing to see, because you know that there's a lot of networking going on and a lot of advice being imparted.
I think definitely the younger generations coming up are better at that, taking time out of their businesses and going to events and work in the room and just voicing what their problems are. I think the older generation, there maybe was a bit, they felt a bit of shame attached to something if they had an issue. Whereas, like, I'm very much about encouraging people that I work with to voice your issues and your problems, and to specifically ask for help. Because one of your finalists this year, I was talking to her, and there's a market that she wants to export to. And I said, well, you know, there is another SFA member who's already in that market, who actually is from that market originally, and she will be delighted to help you if you just go to her and say, look, this is what I'm working on, and have you any advice for me? So what steps do you take to encourage the members and like just pull down those barriers about going and talking to each other and to really improve that networking piece?
Yeah, it's funny on the age profile. That's an interesting point that you make. You know, I would have felt that it's something. Certainly, some of the new businesses, I can think of one or two off the top of my head that were there because they started their business during COVID. You know, and they were of a certain age profile. It's actually a big jump for them to get out there, you know, and to get involved. And I think that's the one cohort. So we would look at our membership and kind of dissect it in stage of development and where they're at in terms of what they need. So I think just talking to one element to say, no, this is how business is done. This is way more valuable in terms of your time. And I suppose all we can do in that is kind of show it, and the proof is in the pudding, and you would get some feedback. You know, from that, God, I didn't realize this or that. Exactly the example that you've given. I think, yes, there is a generation who would have been, not as forthcoming, but I suppose they would have seen the networking as purely a sales thing. You know, get in, talk to the customer, who's the buyer, get to that area. Whereas it's so much more than that. It comes back to that problem-solving piece on it. So I think there's kind of something for everything in the SFA, and that's why we would just try and present that environment. I mean, you're familiar with our Mentors Work program, which is our 12-week mentoring in partnership with SkillNet Ireland. And, you know, we create online environments there for networking as well, because people are so hard-pressed in terms of their time. And, like, that was alien years ago, whereas now it's something that people will put aside the time and get involved. And again, you have to be showing value, because much like the businesses that you see in the National Small Business Awards, if we're not providing value in those times, you know, people aren't going to continue to be members of ours. So we're just very conscious of that. We would look at that in the business mentality as well, you know, in terms of saying, look, we have to be showing value in everything we do for people who would pay their annual subscription to the SFA.
And look, I've been delighted to talk to some of this year's finalists for the awards, who are specifically food and drink. And something that I've noticed is, and you talked about the businesses that were maybe founded during COVID, but then you have the other businesses that have been well established for a number of years. So it's great to see that there's great diversity in the membership in terms of not only male, female, but also the length of time that a business is in operation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, I mean, I suppose the other way to look at that, and when we were looking at doing that particular agenda last week, you know, there is issues that go across all topics of all categories. So, for example, the first session was around cybersecurity in the supply chain, and we were quite specific on that. Because, you know, people say, oh, sure, you know, I'm too small in terms of cybersecurity. And we wanted to explain to them, you know, I don't need to be worrying about that as much. But it's actually the part of the supply chain piece that's going to catch people. And that's why we were trying to explain to people, and we showed real life examples, and some companies on stage say, yeah, I thought I was too small. This is what happened. And this is the effect it had on me and my business. And we're going to see a lot of that with the environment as well over here. You know, although the regulations and the CSRD that's coming down from Europe don't have small businesses in the regulations at the moment, small businesses need to be aware of these regulations because of where they sit in supply chain. Again, this would be different, but it certainly happens in technology, definitely in food and drink. You know, if you want to get into one of the suppliers, you know, one of the big outlets, even though you're not covered under some regulations, you need to be aware of those regulations. Again, it's like customer service. Okay, well, this is my customer. Yes, they'll want the best product, the best quality, the best price, the best taste. But you're also going to have to start thinking a little bit further about that and say, well, what else do they need? And you know they're going to be filling in forms about these regulations. So you need to be providing whatever information that is to help them fulfill that regulation, if that makes sense.
So it sounds like you're going to be a very busy man, David, in the new role. In terms of your vision for the SFA moving forward, are there any big changes that you want to make to the organisation?
Well, not so. It's do more better, and that's all would always be my mantra. I mean, look, from a, right now, the hot topic is the political point of view. I suppose when I came in, there was definitely a challenge. I suppose a hangover from COVID, for want of a better word, of getting people moving and getting people into events. So we've focused on that a lot over the last year. And touch wood, I think, you know, I think certainly Business Connect was certainly a flag in the ground for ourselves. We went previous with our annual lunch, which was the day after the riots, actually, in Dublin in the Mansion House, and where you thought people were scared to come into the city, we had 415 people sit down for lunch, you know, less than 12 hours after the riots. really that shows the resilience of the small business community. So we've worked on the events piece within reason, and then we've worked on the what we're imparting to companies in terms of what I mentioned about their time and the value they're getting. The next step in going into this year, given that it's going to be an important year for elections, will certainly be around making sure that small businesses are at the forefront of any politician, regardless who gets into government. And I always say, like, I'm not into politics. My politics is small business. But I think we have to be sensible about a lot of the pain and things that are happening to small businesses at the moment around, you know, some of the regulations. It's not the regulations. If you look at statutory sick pay and, you know, the move from minimum wage to living wage and auto enrollment, these are good things. We support these things. Our issue at the moment is that all these things coming at the one time, on top of, you know, people have bounced out of crisis and into energy crisis. It's just the coming at the one time is the issue we have. And that's why we're glad to see some of the debt warehousing, you know, some of the changes around that. So I suppose my vision for this year is to make sure that whoever gets into government next year, small business is front and center of their agenda. Because I'll be honest, and I don't have any fear in saying this, we feel with some of the regulations and the timing of the regulations, we've definitely felt that small business was an afterthought. And we want to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And how to do that is, if you look at a lot of these changes that came in, they're all in government manifestos and they're all in political manifestos. So I've been trying to impart that we're out ahead of that now. So whatever government gets in, we want to make sure that small business is the top of their manifesto. And that's how it works, to be honest. And, you know, I didn't know this kind of piece about the role before I came into it, but that's how these things work. If we can make sure that small business is a top priority across all political parties, then when they go to form a government, they look for common ground first. And if the common ground is let's support small businesses, that's going to get into a program for government. And that's where the SFA is focusing a lot of their effort at the moment in terms of going into next year.
And I think small businesses need to do their own work locally with their local politicians in terms of networking and make sure that their local politicians know what they do, what employment they're providing, but also what their challenges are at a local
Absolutely. Level.
That supports what you're doing then.
All politics is local, right? So it doesn't matter. And it's actually going to even start now. I know the local elections are coming up, but it needs to start now. So if your listeners are standing, you know, and they're getting knocks on the door in terms of their doorstep, you know, I can do, the SFA can do what we do at one level, but it starts on the other level. And it's like a goldfish. If people hear it time and time and time again, you know, eventually it will go in. But it does start on the doorstep. And if anybody is, you know, out there, you know, across sectors, and something that we see in the childcare sector as well, and something small business needs to be at the front of the agenda. You know, we're tell them what's going on in your business, tell them where you're struggling. And then, you know, you can be guaranteed that the SFA will be representing you sitting in the front. So if they're getting it from the two angles, it becomes top of the agenda. It's actually quite a simple process when you think about it, but it does take a lot of effort.
Well, to finish off then, you have your awards coming up, and it's, again, there's probably going to be like 400 people at least at these awards. So you're definitely not going to know a lot of the people in the room. What advice do you give to people going to that awards dinner, or in fact to any event where there are people who have great profile, great success in what they're doing? There's politicians, there may be potential customers. What advice do you give to the small business that is attending an event like that?
Yeah, well, I suppose in terms of our one, it's a lot, you know, the finalists and the people who are shortlisted, they use this as a moment of celebration to bring their employees with them. And I think that's what the beauty of the buzz, because everyone wants to be proud of where they work. And most people are proud of where they work. But I suppose that's the translation, that regardless of who you are in a business, when you're out there talking within that room and you're talking to people, you know, everyone should be aware this is our business, this is what we do. And I think that's something that never changes, you know, regardless of the event that you're at. I work for this company, this is what we do. And to be just having that conversation around business and kind of where your organization is at, regardless of who you are in a business. Like, it's always good to know that the owner of a company is the owner of a company, but you're all brand ambassadors for your business. And you never know who you're talking to, and you never know at what point that is going to come back and be of benefit. And even me, I deal with hundreds, thousands of business names, but it's when you meet the person, you say, oh, that's the person who works for, and I can't mention any of our finalists in particular on this podcast, because we love them all equally. But there's certainly a lot of people that I remember, oh, that's that lady, God, she started the business for that reason, or that's himself, he did that, and he's struggling with X. So, you know, it's good to have those conversations and the talk, because you never know who you're talking to. You never know, will that person get you that introduction, or get you that, you know, will mention that this is a good business, these are people. And fundamentally, I think everyone, and certainly this year, knows that small businesses need to be supported in whatever facet that is.
Listen, enjoy the awards dinner. I've no doubt it will be absolutely magnificent. I look forward to seeing who the winners are this year. And thanks a million for taking the time to talk to me.
No problem, Sharon. Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.